Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Welcome. My name is John Hamry. I'm the president here at CSIS. I'm delighted to greet all of you. I am happy and not at all surprised that there would be such a very large turnout to hear Foreign Minister Sponta this morning. Foreign Minister, thank you for coming. We're delighted you're here. On the way in, I asked him, I said, now, Foreign Minister, just for clarity, do you plan today in speaking in English, German, Pashto, Turkish? What was the preference? And I said, because we had not made arrangements for translation other than English. Fortunately, he decided that that would work, and I'm delighted that he could be here with us. He's a distinguished academic, distinguished policy leader in Afghanistan. He took his doctorate and taught at Aachen, one of the great ancient cities of Europe, which is just a stepchild compared to the ancient cities in the Middle East. But he's an adopted son of the West. We've enjoyed him being with us. We're delighted he's here, and this is a great opportunity for us. As everyone knows, we've got too many crises in the world right now, and what tends to happen is that the crisis of the day tends to push off the table the longer-term imperatives of our government and our policy needs. We're glad you're here, Foreign Minister, because you're going to put front and center to the Washington policy community a debate and a discussion we need to have, which is the ongoing progress in Afghanistan and America's obligation to support you. So, Foreign Minister, we're delighted you're here. We welcome you, and we look forward to your remarks. Please, Foreign Minister.
Honorable Dr. John Hamry, the President of ICEU, I think it's correct, of the Center for Strategic and International Studies, is better. Designated member of the Institute, ladies and gentlemen, I prefer to speak Farsi or German, but this is the decision. I try to speak a mixed language, and this is little of English, a little of Farsi, a little of Pashto and Turkish. And I'm a multicultural man, and I'm growing in the west part of Afghanistan, in the city of Herat. The Heratis speak a very special kind of Farsi and Dari. And I work in Germany, and this is also a special form of German language. No? Good. Thank you very much. Allow me to express my utmost gratitude to the Center for Strategic and International Studies for inviting me to share with you my perspective on some important issue that are of interest and concern to you. Today, I would like to speak with you about four issues. The change that Afghanistan has witnessed since the collapse of the Taliban regime, the priorities of Afghanistan's foreign policy, relation between Afghanistan and the United States, and the remaining challenges of my country. Ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, news headlines in these pages have been portraying rather negative and pessimistic picture of Afghanistan in recent months, causing growing concerns among our international partners. However, in my view, news coverage often focuses on issues that are newsworthy, which are often bad news. And good news is not considered as news by a large number of the media outlets. In the first part of my speech, I would like to bring to you, to your attention, some good news that has been sidelined by recent bad news. 4.5 years on from the Bonn Conference, the citizens of Afghanistan have made great strides toward peace, democracy, and security. Together with generous support of our international friends, we have achieved tangible results that have defined our current and future strategy. On the political side, ladies and gentlemen, today Afghanistan has a constitution, an elected president, and an elected parliament. For your information, 86% of eligible voters participated in our presidential election. When 8.4 million Afghan, 40% of them being women, proudly and patiently lined up to vote for their president in parliament, they not only demonstrate their political affiches and commitment to democracy, but also sent a clear message to the terrorist group and extremists all over the world to stay out of our business. In addition, the return of 4.5 million Afghan refugees back to Afghanistan demonstrated their vote of confidence in the government of Afghanistan. Just about 2 months ago, our new parliament approved the list of the cabinet submitted by President Karzai. The establishment of sector-based commissions, adaptation of roles of producer and a legislative agenda based on national priorities, the free deliberation over the issue of security development and new budget, has tested the ability of the parliaments of Afghanistan, of Afghan government, to work constructively together. Hence, the work of the parliament demonstrated the promise of this new institution to be an important and capable entity complementing our state constitutional design. Our political agenda is also increasingly focused on the justice-related issues because without an efficient justice system, peace and equality cannot prevail in Afghanistan. In fact, in order to renew Afghanistan's Supreme Court, President Karzai also submitted a list of nominees for the Supreme Court, which need to be approved by the parliament. Furthermore, he agreed to launch the action plan on peace, justice, and reconciliation together with the Afghan Independence Human Rights Commission, UNHCR, to deal with the past crimes against humanity in our country. Our civil society is also thriving fast. There are now over 70 registered political parties, hundreds of local and national civil societies forums, 300 newspaper and other publications, and nearly 50 radio and television stations. As you may all know, another important variable in the successful transition and consolidation of democracy is education. I am proud to announce, in comparison to 1985's student enrollment in Afghanistan, which was 650,000 students, today we have approximately 7 million students enrolled in formal education, and nearly half of them are girls. We have established reasonable targets of 70% for the total enrollment by 2010, with universal enrollment for all by 2015. In terms of domestic economy development, I am proud to announce that our national economy is also growing steadily, and over the past 4.5 years, we have enjoyed a total real GDP growth of 85%, while the rate of inflation has been kept on around 10%. To further improve our economy, we are working diligently to create an enabling environment for business to grow and for our farmers to produce and market their products. We have also encouraged foreign direct investment and private sector investors to seize opportunities available in Afghanistan. Work has also started toward the promotion of our macroeconomic stability by seeking debt relief from our international creditors through the Paris Club arrangement. In the realm of security, we have taken major steps to reconstitute our national military and police force and reform the security sectors. Currently, we have completed half the process of establishing a 70,000 national army, and we have also trained approximately 20,000 national police. In addition, the completion of disarmament, demobilization, and reintegration DDR program, which was followed by the disbandment of illegal armed group DIAC program, has gained profile and momentum in recent months. In total, 19,000 weapons have now been collected in all parts of the country since the nationwide ammunition disposal program began last year. Over 30,000 tons of unwanted and dangerous munitions have been consolidated and destroyed. However, it will require strong and sustained commitment to meet the benchmark of DIAC. Ladies and gentlemen, I promise to brief you about Afghanistan foreign policy. In the past 3 decades, Afghanistan witnessed the emergence of various threatening elements such as a foreign occupation, but overtly and covertly, factional wars, ideological fanatism, terrorism, and narcotics. To our dismay, many of above threatening elements were exported to Afghanistan by various neighboring regional and international players, both state and non-state actors. Safeguarding Afghanistan against the above treaties and forces constitute our fundamental goal. In order to achieve this goal, Afghanistan has sought to have a pluralistic, cooperative, and assertive foreign policy. In parallel with the emerging partnership between Afghanistan and the international community, inside the country, the Afghan government began a proactive policy to strengthen and consolidate our relation with the international community. We view the countries of the region, in particular our immediate neighbors, among most important countries for Afghanistan. Prior to the collapse of the Taliban, Afghanistan was often treated as sub-state entity by our neighbors, rather than an independent and sovereign nation. The Afghan government was determined to change the dynamic of our relation with our neighbors. We wanted to convey 2 messages to Afghanistan neighbors. Afghanistan wants to be an equal partner, and secondly, to promote the importance of regional cooperation. In view of Afghanistan and our increasingly independent interdependence world, regional cooperation is the best model to reduce tension, resolve conflicts, and succeed in the competitive markets of the global village. To this end, in December 2002, we succeeded in signing the Kabul Declaration of Good Neighborly Relation. Furthermore, we managed the joint membership of the SAARC and the SICA. In June this year, Afghanistan was invited to the second ministerial meeting of Central Asia plus Japan dialogue and to the Shanghai Organization of Cooperation meeting. Strengthening our relationship with the Islamic nations constitute another priority of Afghanistan foreign policy. As a Muslim country, we are bound to pay special importance to our relation with other members of the family of Muslim nations, as it is the manifestation of cultural identity on the international stage. In this context, I would like to elaborate a very important aspect of Afghanistan's foreign policy. It is my firm belief that Afghanistan is an Islamic nation, can and should be an active member of the family of democracies of the world. I do not see any incompatibility or contradiction in between being a Muslim and a democratic nation. Afghanistan is determined not only to be a bridge between the Central Asia, South Asia, and the Middle East, and East Asia, but also a bridge between the Islamic world and the family of democracies, in particular the United States, European Union, Japan, and India. There are voices, both in the Islamic world and also in the West, who believe that certain values and principles are regional or specific values such as human rights, human dignity, equality of men and women, freedom of thoughts and expression. I, however, believe in the universality of these values, a principle that was developed and articulated by the process of modernity and enlightenment. Ladies and gentlemen, we consider our strategic relation with the United States of America as pivotal to our success in overcoming the legacies of the decades of wars and conflict in Afghanistan. As the Joint Declaration of the United States-Afghanistan Strategic Partnership confirms, our relation with the United States of America is multifaceted. It includes cooperation in the fields of security, development, civil society, education, and regional and international issues. The Joint Declaration also states the blueprint of the future reconstruction, development, security, and political strategy. Since the signing in May 2005, fortunately, several steps have been taken to pave the way for its implementation. The visit by my predecessor, Dr. Abdullah, to Washington in March this year was another important initiative in this regard. However, and despite remarkable progress in our relation in recent years, there are still further fields of cooperation between the two countries, in particular in the context of the joint declaration. As the new foreign minister of Afghanistan, I am determined to contribute to the speed and prompt realization of goals of our strategic partnership. Another area of particular interest to Afghanistan, where joint declaration of U.S.-Afghanistan strategic partnership can be used, is to talk about the need to enhance consultation and coordination. Our common objective is winning the war of terror. However, public perception is important. Therefore, in order to win the support of the population, we need to win their hearts and minds. Furthermore, we must prevent collateral damage and provide reconstruction in Afghanistan. Another important and handy aspect of the U.S.-Afghan strategic partnership at this time, where terrorist activities has increased, has to do with the providing more assistance to Afghanistan security and defense forces, that is more training and increasing number of Afghan National Army and Afghan National Police based on our contextual needs. In addition, we need to increase their salaries and provide them with more and better munition. Hence, the assistance of the United States is tremendously needed in this common endeavor. In addition, in order to implement provision of this U.S.-Afghan strategic declaration, our emphasis should not only be on government-to-government contact, but it must also encompass people-to-people and government-to-people, as well as building bridges between private and public sector. difference. In the last part of my speech, I would like to draw a picture of current situation in Afghanistan in the direction of the country, better in the political direction of the country. Afghanistan is undergoing massive changes. It is a country that is in transition. As with any other transition society, there are conflicting players and a structure that seek to determine the destiny of the nation. The forces of the past that are determined to hold back the nation to be prosperous, free, and democrat. And the forces that want to see a new Afghanistan based on the rule of law and the will of citizens. Terrorism remains our number one concern. Terrorism is a multifaceted phenomenon is conducted by its environment. In the case of Afghanistan, we are convinced that the terrorists receive sustained support from the beyond of our borders. For this reason, Afghanistan considers active and sustained cooperation of the international community as pivotal in our success to combat effectively the means of terrorism. The continuing production and trafficking of narcotics represents an existential threat to Afghanistan. If we fail to curb it, Afghanistan may become a narco state. It is absolutely important that with the active and sustained support of the international community, we pursue a multifaceted strategy against narcotics. Providing adequate alternative livelihood to Afghan farmers should be the central essence of our struggle against narcotics. There is also an urgent need to increase our cooperation and coordinate our policies at the regional level, in particular with our neighbors' countries. Other important active and potential sources of instability for Afghanistan are the socio-economic problems of the country, which are interlinked with above treaties. If we cannot address the problems of epidemic corruption, circulation of weapons at the hands of unauthorized individuals and groups, unemployment, uneven development, the growing gap between the rich and poor, high level of expectation of ordinary citizens against the available resources, there is a real and serious danger the Afghan government may once again fail its citizens and become a liability for the international community. The sustained and long-term commitment and support of the international community remain fundamental in our success in overcoming the forces of the past. Ladies and gentlemen, dear friends, despite the many remaining challenges, Afghanistan has chosen its dignity. Afghanistan wants to be a prosperous, free, democratic, and responsible and active member of the international community. I am confident with the sustained and active support of our friends, in particular the United States of America, we can realize our deserved dreams. Thank you very much.
Do you want to take the questions from here or from there?
Not from here.
Thank you very much, Dr. Svanta. What we'd like to do now is we have about a half an hour for a good discussion. And so if I could take your questions, if you could limit them to 1 minute, whether it's a statement or a question, try to limit it to that amount of time. And then what we'll do as well is make sure that the answers are as tight as possible as well. So what I'll do, are there microphones that are going to go around the room? Yes, there are. Okay. I'll try to indicate. Do we have a couple microphones? Okay. I'll try to indicate where the next question is so you can set that up as well. And please identify yourself and your institution Tezi first, and then we'll go to this gentleman in the aisle here, back here, in the middle of the aisle, a second question.
Thank you, Mr. Minister. I'm Teresita Schaefer, Director of the South Asia Program here at CSIS. I was interested in your statement that terrorism is the number one concern and receives sustained support from beyond Afghanistan's borders. I wonder if you could say a little bit about which terrorist forces you find particularly dangerous and where the support is coming from.
We have a very distinguished translator here. We have the ambassador.
Can I begin directly?
Yes,
ma'am, I hope again, I think in the last 30 days, this is the 10th or 12th time that I have this hope to be not Minister for Foreign Affairs Afghanistan, because it is not easy in this position to give a very clearly answer for your question. I was about 10 days ago in Pakistan, and I had a very constructive discussion with my counterpart in Pakistan and also with the President Musharraf and Prime Minister Shaukat Aziz. And we tried to begin a new era in our partnership and cooperation against terrorism. Now, well, I think you understand me completely that I have some difficulties to explain me in this context. The terrorist element in Afghanistan, they are the sources or nationality of this element is very different. An international group of terrorists from Afghans element, Pakistani elements, Arabs elements, Chechen elements, and some another groups also. But the goals and main idea, the ideological resources of these terrorist groups, training center, and financial centers, principally is the same sources, and they are outside our country. And you understand me what I mean. I don't talk about my neighbor, Pakistan.
Mm-hmm. Yes. London School of Economics. Could you comment on the role and importance of demining in the reconstruction process?
Now, in this context, we have cardinal achievements during last years. The Afghan government began to take the leadership of anti-main campaign from next years, and Afghan NGOs and also another international NGOs, they are working very hard against main fields, but Afghanistan, the big part of country, different part of our country, is full with the main also today, and we need more time to eliminate main fields in Afghanistan.
Back in that corner.
Dr. Tajuddin Melatmal, President of Humanity International for Peace and Prosperity. Dear Minister, welcome. Would you please comment on, in spite of the differences that we are having with the neighboring countries, but we got to understand that we are a country that we have to live with them along forever. So what kind of policy you are going to be implementing in order to, from one side, stop their influences in Afghanistan, which is tremendously negative, unfortunately, and from the other side, to develop a long-term relationship that we can coexist with each other. Thank you.
Now, to have a friendly relationship with all of our neighbors had extensive importance for Afghanistan. Without friendship with the neighbors, it is impossible to have democratic and prosperous Afghanistan. We try to speak, to have a dialogue, a very constructive dialogue with the neighbors, and I think the best instrument to try to find a solution for the real and not real conflicts between Afghanistan and its neighbors is to strengthen dialogue, that is bilateral dialogue, that is one. And another is if we have some problems about the sources of the terror, like training center, financial sources, etc., we need international interference, not military, but politically and diplomacy interference against some country that so that they understand our position, that also our willingness that Afghanistan will be free and sovereign country without interference from the neighbors and also from the other countries in our internal affairs. This is very important. And the other mechanism is the resistance and mobilization of Afghanistan's people for construction, for peace, for confidence making. And the another mechanism is to strengthen, and this is very, very important, economic cooperation, especially economic cooperation in our region between Afghanistan and Pakistan, in Indian and also Central Asian and Iran. If we developed interdependence in economical issues, I think that is the very, very influence-rich instrument against military interference.
So, right here on the back of the aisle. We'll shift to this side as we go on. Okay?
Yes.
I give my answer in German now. It is not easy to speak English. Excuse me.
You're doing a fine job, sir. Thank you very much. My name is Meredith Buell. I'm with the Voice of America. President Karzai, as you know, has been in Japan this week attending a conference on the disarming of illegal militias in Afghanistan. He said there in an interview that the sources of terrorism are located outside Afghanistan and the focus should be on countries where terrorists are trained and financed. He did not mention Pakistan, but as we all know, he's accused in the past of harboring and training terrorists, a charge that Islamabad has denied. What exactly would Afghanistan like to see Pakistan do more of in order to promote peace and stability along the border? And my second question is, where do you believe Osama bin Laden is hiding?
I begin with the second question. I'm sure he is not in Kabul. Now, President Karzai, I'm working with President Karzai since about 2 years. And in all coalition that he had a very clearly point of view, he had right in political issues. No? And also in this context, I think his position is very, very clear. Afghanistan believes that our neighbor Pakistan is one of the victims of terrorism, but we believe in the same time that Pakistan can do more against terrorism. Pakistan had employed about 80,000 soldiers and beyond the Durand line, and I hope the soldiers and other security groups be even reason to stop terrorist groups to come to Afghanistan in the night and go back at the morning early to Pakistan to become modern weapon, etc., because that is very important for security in Afghanistan, also security and state building in Pakistan. The discussion about field state, the problems of field state, and now is a very, very critical question for Pakistan. It's not alone for Afghanistan. Field state for Afghanistan for us is past, because we have tremendous achievement in the process of state building to renew our law system, our education, etc. But the fragmentation of Pakistan society is very, very important problem in this region, and the precondition to face, to eliminate this problem, I think, is that Pakistan really go actively on and to action against terrorist network into Pakistan.
Let's get two more questions on this side of the room and then switch to this side. Why don't we do this gentleman right here, and Savina, maybe you could come down and get somebody in the front.
Thank you.
Switch to the other side.
Amin Tazi from RFERL. My first question is, before you coming to Washington, Minister, you stated in the Afghan media that you are talking about a new counterterrorism strategy with the United States of America. Could you please elaborate on what that is and also whether you have received support from Washington on that? The second question you raised it is the issue you mentioned, Durand Line. What would Afghanistan do to call that the Afghan-Pakistani border and stop at least enticing Pakistan to do what you're claiming that they're doing? Unless you recognize that border, there would always be a problem from the other end. Thank you.
Now, that was one statement of President Karzai about new strategy, not my statement. And the meaning of that to have new priority in this context to strengthen Afghan security power, and also in my speech I talk about that in this context we have tremendous problem. For example, some district in Afghanistan with the 40,000 population, we have only 41 policemen there. And how we can defend this district against terrorist attacks? When they are coming with very modern weapon, very modern cars and vehicle, with the Land Cruiser and with air condition, and our police had only two or three old Russian jeeps, no, and they are very luxurious tourists with luxurious life, and they organize their attacks against our people, and that was that President Karzai mean better coordination, better consolidation, and better realization of operation against terrorist groups. Now, about the Durand Line, the problem of terrorist attacks and terrorist centers is not the problems of Durand Line. This is another problem. We are ready if the terrorist problems go back and reduce to speak about all of the problem that we have with Pakistan. But the problem of Durand Line is not the problem of president or foreign minister. This is a national problem. This is the task of our National Assembly, not my task and my responsibility. And other side, this is the questions for the people they are living in other side of Durand Lines. And the self-determination of these people to be part of Pakistan or not, and this is not my problem to talk about that. This is the problem of the people they are living there. And once more, the source of these problems is the construction of post-colonial states. The post-colonial states, in other words, is the state with the division of family, sister, and brother, and the division of community with the same culture, with the same history, same languages. I don't mean that we will have some territorial problems with Pakistan, but the people they are living there, they must find some solution.
Let's do the next one over here. Maybe, can you bring the next microphone over here?
Wait, one second. If I may, Mr. Tarzi, with your permission, the foreign minister, I would like to add just a small comment about the new strategy or the new approach on fighting terrorism, something that President Karzai and the foreign minister have indicated, to make it really clear what Afghanistan government objective is: to first to go after ideological and physical safe havens and terrorism outside Afghan border, to prevent the terrorists from coming into Afghanistan. This is the first step. And once they enter Afghanistan, carry out operation to clear them from Afghanistan in two ways. First, large-scale periodical operation, such as the Operation Mountain Trust. Second, have forces, international forces, to be ready to respond very quickly to terrorist threats. Once the clear part is done, then hold the area. And the area can be held only by enhancing the capacity of the Afghan security forces, especially the police forces in the army, to hold the area on the long term, because the way the terrorists operate when they attack mosques or burn schools, the Afghan police forces are in a better position to defend that. And we can only hold areas on the long run if we rebuild it. So the third part of the policy is to work on the reconstruction of the area that's been cleared out of the terrorist attack. Thank you.
Mr. Minister, thank you very much. Mark Schneider from the International Crisis Group. Very good to see you here. To some degree, this follows both your comment and the ambassador's. There has been some statements by President Karzai of his intention perhaps to create paramilitary militias rather than to rely on the expansion and accelerated growth of the police and military forces. And our experience worldwide has been that paramilitary forces generally produce less security and create additional political problems for the country, particularly one that has been successful in demobilizing a significant number of militia in the past several years. So I'd be very interested in your comments about that. And second, you mentioned briefly drugs. And I'd be interested, since we just had reports that that Afghanistan may have the highest crop of opium poppies and this year, whether or not you believe, your government believes, that you're getting the kind of support, not in terms of financial aid, but the kind of support from the ISAF and U.S. military forces, the coalition forces, with respect to intelligence about warehousing, with respect to interdiction, that you want. Thank you.
Now, about the police forces, one issue is very important in this context, that it is not the rebuilding of militia troops in Afghanistan, because the weakness of our security powers in different parts of Afghanistan, especially in south part of Afghanistan, is a very cardinal problem of my country. Now, how we can, for short time, combat terrorist attack in this part of Afghanistan by national forces, by Afghan forces, not alone through the international forces. And the solution from our point of view is to give for the local population to defend their school and government's institution, but under the commando of the state officers. Is not, this is not the same like in the past, the militia, the reconstruction of militia's power, but this is the local people, they are ready to defend their district, their schools against terrorist attack, but under commando of the government officers. And for these people, we need weapon and short-time training and also financial support. And this is fundamentally different as militia building. Drugs is our one of the main challenges in Afghanistan, because it is an interlinked between drug and terrorist groups and terrorist activities. But it is not only a military and security task. I think the reduction of anti-drug politic of security coalition was the main mistake that we had in the past. Importance as that is that anti-drug politic must be multifaceted as security, and social politic and cultural politic also and also economic politic. To bring together all of this element, we must try to give Afghanistan poor form and not drug mafia people alternative livelihood on another chance to be busy and to have economic and financial sources. That is the one. Other sides, we need international cooperation and especially regional cooperation to stop drug trafficking from Afghanistan through Central Asia and through Iran, and to bending the free activity or relative free activity of drug barons and mafia in this region. That is a multifaceted politic, and we need more consultation on cooperation with the international community. You know, United Kingdom had the lead of anti-drug campaign in Afghanistan, and we are in cooperation and consultation with United Kingdom about this new policy.
Thank you. I'm Mike Haltzell from DLA Piper. Mr. Minister, does the government of Afghanistan unreservedly condemn suicide attacks against military or civilian targets as a tactic? And if so, would the government of Afghanistan be willing to reintroduce a resolution to that effect at the next meeting of the Organization of the Islamic Conference? I would remind you that such a resolution was introduced a few years ago at the meeting in Malaysia. It was supported only by the host government and the government of Bosnia and Herzegovina. I would expect that, given what's happened in the intervening few years, that such a resolution, especially if introduced by your government, might gain a whole lot more support. Thank you.
Now, suicide bombing is, from Afghan's point of view, from the point of view of Afghan Muslims, is non-Islamic action. Overall, not alone in Afghanistan. We don't accept that. And we are happy, very happy about that, that the Council of Afghans Ulama, clerics, they have a religion fitwa, that is religion declaration, about suicide bombing as non-Islamic attacks. And the reality is also the absolute majority of this bomber are not Afghan citizens, because in Afghan tradition, it is a very, very negative action to kill theirself. Afghans killing another, not themselves. Now, about the position of Islamic Conference, you know, it is a lot of problem with some similar activity in another part of Islamic country, but I believe the majority of members of the Islamic Conference are against this kind of terrorist attacks. And we hope that we can bring in the future some proposal against this kind of terrorist attack. Yes, of course. If somebody brings some proposal, I will bring self the proposal. It's not necessary to bring another people against suicide bombing, because it is fundamentally different to be freedom fighter and to be suicide bomber. The terrorist attack, I can find some emancipation element in the action of these people. This is only terrorist attack to make region and countries and people insecure and bring civilian and kill civilian in different part of the world and burn school and that is military attacks without liberation's goal.
quick follow-up.
It seems to me that if you don't condemn the tactic of suicide bombing unreservedly under any circumstances, then people will always claim that they're freedom fighters when they do it.
Now, my position is very clear. It is not; they are not freedom fighters from my point of view. Pastor.
Thank you. Back here, Michael.
I'd like to, Mike Fallon, Senate Foreign Relations Committee. I'd like to turn to the transition from the coalition forces in the south and east to ISAF forces. If you could give us a sense of the Afghan government's participation in that transition, your sense of the pace of that transition and the effectiveness, what do you expect the impact on the ground is going to be? Thus far, we've seen attacks on the NATO forces that have moved into the south, very directed, hoping to dissuade it, certainly, and cause the European capitals to second-guess themselves, perhaps. But if you could give us a sense of the Afghan government's participation in the decision to move on this and to what extent it's going to continue to provide forces to both coalition and ISAF elements in order to pursue the goals in the south and east of the country. Also, if you could tell us how many Afghan officials are part of the provincial reconstruction teams in both coalition and ISAF. Give a sense of their role in this effort, stabilization.
Now, anti-terror war in Afghanistan, also reconstruction Afghanistan, is an international task. It's not alone national task for Afghan citizens. And we are happy about that more than 40 countries working together from different culture and civilization, working together on the reconstruction process in Afghanistan and peace building in our country. We are working with the international community in different form, closely together, and the continuity of this cooperation is one of the main issues for our security and also development politic. The PRTs that is in essential, they are more civil activities to develop Afghanistan, to make secure Afghanistan. And but another task is, I think you might also have NATO, and they are the troops. They have military tasks, and this is difference field between PRT and NATO activity in Afghanistan.
Thanks for being here with us today. I'm Farrah Stockman with the Boston Globe. My first question is, I understand that the Afghan government has given the U.S. government a list of 55 Guantanamo detainees that it would like to see released. I'm wondering if the American government has given any response to that, if that has figured into your meetings at all in Washington. And the second question is whether or not you have seen any evidence that terrorists in Iraq have been assisting terrorists in Afghanistan.
Now, allow me begin with the second part of your question, ma'am. We can't find interlink between terrorist group in Afghanistan and also terrorist group in Iraq. Afghanistan and Iraq is very different. In Afghanistan, the international community is very popular. It is a very, very small part of the terrorist groups. They are against the presence of international community in Afghanistan. The absolute majority of Afghans, they are very happy about the presence of international troops there. And about the Guantanamo prisoner, I think you give the number of 35 prisoners? 55. We have in our strategical partnership declaration one paragraph that principally Afghanistan is ready to accept Afghans citizens they are now in Guantanamo. And that is our policy on understanding with our partner, United States.
You any indication about whether they're ready to send those people?
It is very important to have international standards in Afghans prisons. And we are now at work. I prefer to rebuild schools and hospitals, but we build now modern prisons for these people that are coming from Guantanamo.
Let's do two last questions. This gentleman here and then this gentleman back here.
Parameswaran from Agence France Presse. How do you make the claims by the Taliban militants that they have basically entered Kabul and have been responsible for a series of blasts this week? And the second question is, how do you see the involvement of British soldiers who have died, who have taken many casualties in recent days, and what's the problem there in the areas they are serving? Thank you.
Now, we have terrorist attack also in London, in Barcelona, in Madrid, and another secure cities in Europe and another part of the world. And main problem is for the terrorist attack that they choose now soft targets. And that is to go to attack against civilian cities, schools, and clearages. That is not a sign of a strongness to be powerful, but it is that opposite of that. That is a sign of to be powerless, to seek soft targets. I believe, and I think it is possible to go to action in Kabul and also in the northern city of Afghanistan, also western city, but this is not the systematic of the terrorist attack. The systematic is that they are operated in the border area in South Afghanistan.
British soldiers' fatalities.
This is not along the date of British soldiers. We have also another victim under another member of the international coalition. It is an international task in southern Afghanistan. It is, I think, it is bad news, but it can happen.
I think the last question back here.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Mr. Minister. Christopher Swift, University of Cambridge in the United Kingdom. Mr. Minister, I had the pleasure of traveling extensively in the southern part of Afghanistan shortly before the riots last year, and I think your comments this morning regarding the insurgency's transnational elements are very important, and it's very important that people in the United States understand those elements, both from Pakistan, from Central Asia, and from elsewhere. Exactly. Mr. Minister, strangely absent from your discussion this morning and from the questions posed to you is any discussion of the insurgency's subnational elements. And I can tell you from my experience in the hinterlands interviewing local mullahs and maliks that is a great concern to people along the Durand Line and in other parts of Afghanistan. Mr. Minister, I'm wondering, how would you characterize the current size, structure, and composition of the Afghan insurgency's indigenous element?
Now, I don't have exactly information about the number of terrorists, but I know beyond Afghanistan's border, it is a lot of production center of terrorists a lot of fabric, they have only the job to produce terrorist groups from different nationality, not alone Afghans. I spoke about Arabs, element, Chechen element, Uzbeks, and also people from Northern Africa. And this is our problem, that we can't identify how many people they are active in these terrorist fabrics, because the sources of this terror and terror in Madrid, in London, and in New York, September 11, is the same sources, and they are the same kind of terror terrorist groups. They are not very powerful, but we know they are not very powerful. They are powerful while our security power is very weak in the south part of Afghanistan. I'm sure with the changes in our new policy to strengthen the presence of police people, policemen, and also border soldiers, and the presence of national army, on with the strengthening of cooperation between international community and Afghanistan, we can stop the and reduce the terrorist attack also in south part of Afghanistan.
All right, please join me in thanking Mr. Minister and Mr. Ambassador for the senior guests.